From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us today. This is Alan Cairns with you once again as we continue our study of the life of Christ. We will return today to the Sermon on the Mount, having last week looked at the character of those whom Christ describes as the subject of God's righteous kingdom. We will come a little further today to consider the statutes of that kingdom. We'll be returning to Matthew's Gospel chapter 5 and looking further into the Sermon on the Mount a little later in the broadcast. That's coming up in a few minutes, but first we start with our hot topic for today, our commentary. A district court and the ACLU support the porn industry. A senior U.S. District Judge, Lowell Reed Jr., has struck down a 1998 law passed by Congress against internet pornography. The law made it a crime for commercial website operators to let children under 18 view pornographic materials. It enacted that such operators should remove pornographic teasers from their home page, and that they should require those who sought to view their hardcore porn to prove their adult identity by using a credit card. All this was too much for the porn operators, and so they enlisted the help of the ACLU. As usual, the ACLU used the old free speech argument. To put such restrictions on the porn industry would curtail their free speech. The amazing thing is that a district judge bought their argument. How it curtails anybody's right to free speech to demand credit card proof of identity before viewing pornographic material on an open internet site is incomprehensible. Is it a curtailment of free speech when a shopkeeper is required to ask anyone who looks like a minor for a driving license as proof of adult identity before selling him alcohol or cigarettes? For some reason, the ACLU did not go to court when the McCain-Feingold bill placed a very considerable restriction on the very kind of speech that the Constitution set out to protect, namely political speech. Yet it did go to court to protect the interests of one of the vilest aspects of American society, the porn industry. That tells you a lot about the ACLU. The judge who agreed with the ACLU excused his decision by saying that parents had access to the necessary filters and software to block internet porn from their children. The man must be either deliberately obtuse or else he's not living in the real world. Have parents control over every computer to which their children have access? And can't many kids circumvent anything that their parents may adopt as a safeguard? The judge knows all this, but still, he delivered a fatuous ruling that puts the profit margins of porn dealers before the welfare of vulnerable children. America is in the midst of a moral crisis. Again and again we hear of judges who go soft on those who abuse children. This case falls into the same category. For make no mistake, those whose business is pornography feed the very perversions that lead to the rape and destruction of young lives. And they introduce young people to an addiction that will blight them for the rest of their lives. This case will probably go to the Supreme Court. Let's hope and pray that there some sound moral judgment will carry the day. You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, and the program originates from our church in Greenville, South Carolina. We'd like to invite you to make sure you spend this part of the day each day with us here on the program, and we'd also like you to participate by getting in touch with us, by making use of the various free offers that we make from time to time, by writing us to ask for a free copy of our magazine, our Let the Bible Speak Quarterly. It's yours for the asking, and I think you'll find that it is very informative. We also would like you to go to our website, and there you'll be able to read the hot topics from day to day and follow up on the broadcast, as well as find some of the other interesting material that we have on our Let the Bible Speak radio website. So these are some of the ways in which we try to minister to you, and we hope that you'll be blessed as we make the effort. I'd also like to say, of course, that on our website you'll find information regarding the nearest Free Presbyterian Church to where you are, and we'd love to have you come and visit with us at any of our churches as the Lord enables you. Alternatively, if you're in a place where there is no good gospel witness, we'd be happy to hear from you to see if there's some way in which we can encourage you and help you to see such a witness established in your area. With all that in mind, I'd better give you our mailing address and other ways to be in touch with us. The mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org, or you may call us toll free at 1-866-877-5827. That's 1-866-877-LTBS. A moment ago I mentioned our website, so let me tell you exactly where to find that. You can go to ltbsradio.com, ltbsradio.com. I trust that you'll make your way to that site, and you'll find much there that will be of help to you. It's our privilege to bring this broadcast to you day by day, and to minister to you in these various ways that I've sought to outline. May the Lord bless them to you. Do keep us in your prayers, and don't forget, this week, to be in touch with us here at Let the Bible Speak.
Turn this morning to Matthew chapter 5 as we continue our studies in the life of Christ. Matthew's Gospel chapter 5. This morning we read from verse 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, that thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out, and cast it from thee. For it's profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off, and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. It hath been said, Whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery. Again ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, Thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, Swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Ye have heard that it hath been said, An eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor, and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Amen. We'll finish our reading at the end of chapter 5 of Matthew's Gospel. And trust that the Lord will bless the reading of his word to our hearts for his name's sake. You remember that last Sabbath morning I said that I was not going to extend the studies in the life of Christ to study all the teachings of the Lord Jesus, for the simple reason that it would be a never-ending series. I know it seems like that to some already, but it would become in fact what it may now appear to be, unending. However, though we will concentrate on the biography of the Savior, there are times when his teaching is so connected with the biography that you can't really understand the person unless you understand what he is saying. And we have therefore taken time to include some notice, though not a detailed notice, of the Sermon on the Mount. The great subject of the Sermon on the Mount is God's righteous kingdom. This is a passage in which the Lord Jesus gives very close attention to the subject of the kingdom of God. That's a subject, of course, that he took up right at the beginning of his ministry, and he continued it to the very end of his ministry. But here in this great Sermon on the Mount, he gives particular emphasis and detailed teaching to the subject. Now, last Lord's Day, I got as far as dealing with the people who are the subjects of the kingdom. And we thought of their character as it's delineated for us here in Matthew chapter 5. We give some attention to the conflict that is always going to involve those who are subjects of the kingdom of God. Remember that the kingdom of God is not simply a description of heaven. It is not something merely future. The kingdom of God is something that is already present. It has a future aspect. That's why we are taught to pray, "Thy kingdom come." I'll go ahead and make it clear, it has both a millennial and an eternal aspect, this kingdom of God. But nevertheless, it is already present. And when you read, and we will possibly in due course pay a little attention to this in Matthew 13, when you read how the Lord Jesus defines and describes that kingdom, you'll see that he defines and describes it in its essence and in its activity in this present world, surrounded by all the powers of darkness and all the influences of the kingdom of darkness. So it is not surprising that the subjects of the kingdom of grace are automatically the targets of the attack of the devil. There is conflict. Those who think that the church must be in sin when it is in conflict don't know their Bibles. Those who think that because every man's hand is against you, and you are hated and despised and cursed and attacked, that therefore you must be doing something wrong, they just don't get it. The more right you are, the more you'll be attacked. The more like Christ you are, the more you'll be persecuted. The more obviously you're a subject of the higher kingdom, the more openly you will be the object of the hatred of the baser kingdom. And that's why the Lord Jesus speaks here of the conflict of the subjects of his kingdom. Nonetheless, notwithstanding that conflict, he describes their calling. They are to be both salt and light in the world. Their calling is to do real spiritual good and to carry the savor of God and the gospel of His Son into a world of wickedness. Now this morning, I want us to come to deal with, in a little way, with the statutes of the kingdom as the Lord Jesus sets them forth. And that's why we read at length in Matthew chapter 5. And of course, we could continue to read on, and the Lord Jesus would pursue the subject into the following chapter. The statutes of the kingdom. It's very, very important that we understand what the Lord Jesus says in verse 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law. I want you to understand that. The Lord Jesus Christ did not come to destroy the law. The Lord Jesus Christ did not come to abrogate the law. The Lord Jesus Christ did not come even to replace the law with another law. We must understand what He's saying here. Sure, He did abrogate the ceremonial law because it was a type that was fulfilled in Him. And when the substance came, the shadow had no further need of being observed in the church. So the ceremonial law is terminated in Christ. We don't have the Passover now. We don't have blood sacrifices now. We don't observe the Day of Atonement now, because these were all typical, along with all the rest of the ceremonial law, and the types had their fulfillment in Christ.
Been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.